Yoshua Perek Tesvav, Pasuk Ches is where we are up to. We are working our way down the northern boundary of Shevet Yehuda, which I'm sorry to say, we're still not quite halfway through because it's a jagged edge that moves around a lot past many landmarks that are being mentioned by name, but now we get to one of the most important ones. So, the jagged edge at Ein Rogel continues. Va'olah ha'gavul gei ben Hinnom. And so, then the border ascended and went up from gei ben Hinnom. And so at this point in the boundary, this was a place between Emek Kadron and Emek Rephaim. This is the place that said, this is the boundary part that separates Har Tzion, which is north of Emek Rephaim, with the actual Temple Mount, with the Har HaMoriah, where the Beis HaMikdash is going to be built. So we are in a very significant part of Eretz Yisrael here. The Gemara Erevin tells us that at Gei Beis Hinnom there were two tamarim, two date palm trees, and smoke rises from the ground between them because the opening to Gehenim is in this spot. So a very significant place indeed. The Marasha here explains that what the Gemara is teaching us is that if you go after the sweet pleasures of Olam Hazeh, the taivos of things that are sweet like date honey, that's how you eventually begin to fall into Gehenim, to decline in a ruchnius level, because you're going down into Gehenim because all you cared about was Olam Hazeh and not the ruchnius. So we start there. El Kesef HaYevusi Minegev. To the south side of the Yevusi, Minegev to the south, which actually Rashi explains, because we're going south of the Yevusi, Nimtes Yerushalayim Chutz Min HaChod, Ve'ino Bigvul Yehuda, Ela Bigvul Binyamin, Sheu Bitzfono Shel Yehuda. So Rashi says very clearly that therefore the city of Yerushalayim itself is outside the chut, outside the boundary line being drawn by the Psukim, and so Yerushalayim technically is in the Nachala of Binyamin. More about that when we get to Shevet Binyamin and the idea of a kind of column of land, a land strip that was an easement of sorts that went from Yehuda into Binyamin, including parts of the Beis HaMikdash, as we'll see when we get there. Va'olah ha'gavul el Rosh Ahar. I'm sorry, Minegev hi Yerushalayim. And this is Yerushalayim. This is the south side of the Yevusi. Vala hagavula Rosh Ahar. And the border then ascended to the top of the mountain, which Asher al Pnei Gehinom Yama, there's Gehinom, Gehenom, which flanks Gehinom on the west side. Asher Biktzei Emek Rephaim Tzafona, which is at the northern valley of Emek Rephaim, of the valley of Rephaim. So this border, which is continuing, goes past Emek Rephaim at this northern end, which is named after, Radak tells us, the Rephaim, the giants who used to live there. This was during the Melucha of Shlomo HaMelech, the southern side of Yerushalayim. Emek Rephaim was not a very fertile place. Very little grain grew there. Yeshaya had a nevuah about Emek Rephaim in Perek Yud Zayin of Yeshaya, where he said that the few people who are going to escape the exile of Melech Ashur of the 10 tribes are going to be eventually captured. And the metaphor that he uses is somebody who plucks the very few pieces of standing grain in Emek Rephaim. So the runaways will be plucked, just like the very easy to see grain stalks in Emek Rephaim, which are so few. The Plishtim also used Emek Rephaim as an encampment when they heard that Melech David was anointed as Melech of Klal Yisrael. So Emek Rephaim again plays a place later on in Nach. Pasuk Tes. Besar ha-givul me rosh ha-har el ma'ayan me neftoach. And the border, besar, always means directly preceded from the top of the mountain to the spring of the waters of Nefoach, of Mei Nefoach. Rashi actually says V'so'ar means that the border took a roundabout route, but the Gra says it means it proceeded in a straight line. The Mei Naftoach is called Ein Itim in the Gemara, Radak tells us, slightly higher than Yerushalayim in terms of elevation. And this is where the mikveh water came from for the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur. So all of these areas around Yerushalayim are very significant to later Jewish history and ritual and everything that was done. It's about 8 miles south of Yerushalayim, and the water flowed underground through Beis Lechem to the southern part of Yerushalayim. So this was a very significant place, this Mei Neftoach. There were also, some people suggest, some pipes that were put on the west side of Har Tzion to catch the water and bring it into the city. So this is a major water source for a desert city, so it was a very important place, which is why it's mentioned here. V'yotza el Arei Har Ephron, and then broadened to the cities of Har Ephron. There are two deep valleys on the west side of Yerushalayim, and there's a high plain, which appears to be a mountain, and that might be Har Ephron, because it's two great depressions that make the area between them look like a mountain. Vesar HaGavul Ba'ala, and then the border proceeded directly to Ba'ala, he Kiryas Ya'arim, which is the same as Kiryas Ya'arim. Kiryat Ya'arim still exists, I believe, in modern Eretz Yisrael. But later in Shoftim, we learned that Kiryas Ya'arim's name was changed to Machane Dan. So that was the city that they are referring to. Kiryas Ya'arim, very important, Rashi brings down, the place where after the Aron Kodesh was recaptured from the Plishtim, it was brought to Kiryas Ya'arim by David HaMelech to the home of Oved Edom Hagiti, and it stayed there for an extended period of time until David saw that there was great bracha in that household of the Levi Oved Edom for bringing the Aron in there, because people had died and there was a little carelessness in moving the Aron, and we'll learn that when we get to Sefer Shemuel.